And good morning. Welcome to County Edition on 1590 KVGB, 95.5 FM, the talk of the town. It's a program we get you up to date on what's going on in Barton County. To help us do that today, Barton County Attorney Levi Morris. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Steve.
So, let's jump right into it. What's going on with jury trials right now?
Thank you for that.
I just throw it out there. Yeah. There you go.
You know, nothing really new to add. Or nothing to dive into. We're starting to back up, and as it was reported by your own very lovely Mike Corson, you know, we got a lot of them scheduled, and privately, I, you know, was concerned about scheduling. But, you know, the thing that doesn't always get, the thing people might not know is that, like, you know, the article Mike said he starts off with, it's a study session. And I'll bet you anything, a half dozen people know what a study session is. And why it is or is not significant. And so there's the open meeting and a county commission meeting. And then when that's over, there are a series of study sessions. And they are, by law, open meetings. They are official meetings, but they are a meeting that is traditionally not attended by anybody. And so, you know, any department head can ask for a study session any week. You get it on a couple days' notice. They ask you what you want to talk about. In all honesty, if you're smart, you just say personnel, because nobody ever wants to hear about personnel. But if you say something truthful, then maybe people will show up and they'll listen to it. So, you know, that great introduction by you was really just supposed to be a private meeting between the duly elected county attorney and five duly elected county commissioners, and a little cover your butt in the event that 5 or 6 months from now there's a problem. Because right now, we are actually so far out that everything could be a nothing burger. We are so far out, it could not materialize. And so that got blown up a little bit and pushed around. And so there's really not a lot to add or to follow up on. We're doing them again. And we got to make sure that we get them done and we get them organized. And we'll see how it pans out. Now, maybe in July I'll change my tune, but right now it's too far out to make any promises or predictions.
Well, that was a unique situation with, I guess it was kind of like behind the curtains.
I mean,
with a conversation between a county attorney and a district judge.
Yeah, it's like going to the hot dog factory and somebody pulls back the curtain and shows you how hot dogs are made. And then you stop eating hot dogs.
So jury trials will continue.
Yeah.
So, since we're talking about these study sessions, they don't take notes or they don't record those. So if it's a public meeting, why don't they record those? I mean, I was always told that, okay, we would have our recorders in at the county commission meeting. Okay. And then the study session, they'd turn the recorder off. So I would take my recorder and then I put it up on top. Then I was asked by a commissioner one time, well, we don't like you to put that recorder up there is because it makes people uncomfortable. I said, okay, well, are you going to take Dale Hogg's pen and paper away while we're doing this?
The first thought is,
I went down a road probably you weren't expecting, but that's okay.
County edition with the county attorney versus county edition with the county counselor. I should text the county counselor.
This
is how it's been explained to me. And, you know, this just 5 years ago when I was a brand new county attorney and they were explaining everything to me and I remembered half of it, maybe. You know, my understanding is the first part of it's an open meeting and that, you know, they include anybody can just show up and make a comment any day they want. I mean, the sheriff could show up and complain about the county attorney, right?
Right.
Just imagine. And or any citizen can honestly voice a complaint about anything. And when that formal meeting's open or closed, I guess to answer your question, it's still an open meeting. You have every right to show up. And I think what you're talking about is really just courtesy and tradition that kind of develops places. Because just like that meeting, you know, Mike Corson was there. The microphone was on. I knew it ahead of time. I mean, it's sitting 8 inches in front of me, and I know it's going to pick up my horrible voice very well. And so what it really is just tradition, I think, so that every single thing a department chair may want to tell his five bosses, his or her five bosses, isn't recorded and published, you know. And so there's just, it's really just a large tradition and courtesy. And when you put something juicy as the topic of your study session, Mike Corson says, tradition be darned, and I'm going to be there.
I'm just used to covering meetings in Ellis County where everything, I mean, you would not have to have it. They would not have to take action on a particular meeting, but they would say, okay, we're going to look at bids for a loader tractor.
Yeah.
That was on there. Then they'd talk about it and hash it out. Some of the biggest discussions where you find out more about your public officials or elected officials come in those type of settings. Because all of a sudden it gets to the agenda and they say, well, we voted 3-2 and then, okay, let's move on to the next thing.
Well, then usually votes, my understanding, really, and I'm just guessing, don't hold me to this, but I think votes do take place in that open meeting. That's kind of the nature of them. I mean, for my experience,
correct.
If I want to go down and tell the commissioner something and pat myself on the back for the great job I'm doing, and I want everyone to know about it, I will ask for a spot in the open meeting and tell them what it's about. But if I want to just go talk about, you know, my budget or what I'm spending money on, or if I want to give an employee a raise or talk about anything that's sort of just internal, and then you ask for a study session and it's still an open meeting. So, I can't explain it any better than that other than, you know, there are just some things that's the way that's the way it is.
Okay.
I walked into it. That's the way we were doing it before I got here. Far be it for me to break it.
Well, that's true. I mean, Levi Morris in here on County Edition today. So I got off on one path. Now I'm trying to think of which path I want to go down here. What is there a path you want to head down today and to let people know about, since it's, you know, County Edition with
squatters' rights? No,
I do want to get the squatters' rights here. You want to do that now?
Shoot.
Okay. So it's something that, I mean, these shows, I always talk to Logan Burns from the city. I says, well, it always turns into your issues. Well, okay. Well, so how can someone not own a house, not have any interest in that house, yet they live in that house and won't leave? It's right next door to me. Okay, right next door to me.
There's the bias.
There you go. Oh, of course it is.
You know,
I don't know these people. I don't know where they're at. It's law enforcement has been over there, but they cannot do anything.
Right. And I sort of, just like I said a minute ago, I can give you an informal answer.
Okay.
And the reality is, it is not the job necessarily of law enforcement to decide who ought to be living in a house.
I
think, you know, the reality, you used the phrase when we were talking earlier, squatters' rights. And the reality is, once somebody gets into an apartment or a house that they're renting, just like firing somebody, it's easier to not rent to somebody than it is to evict them. It is easier to not hire an employee than it is to fire them. And squatters' rights generally, you know, like all phrases sometimes gets thrown around and means different things to different people. The reality is, once you live someplace, the lease runs out, you quit paying your rent, you're destroying the place, anything that is a matter of your landlord-tenant relationship, then that really is a civil case. And so far be it for, you know, us to obligate an officer, for example, to on the spot make a determination about who should get to live there. And so, you know, the phrase that gets thrown around is it's a civil issue, right? Officer takes a report of a crime. They have probable cause to arrest of a crime. Then great, that's a criminal case.
Sure.
They can arrest. But, you know, kind of what you describe, well, somebody's living there, and they may or may not have the right to be there. Well, they don't have, you know, depending on the particular facts given, may not have anything to arrest for. Now, if it's trespass, that's different. You know, if it's your apartment, right?
Okay.
Your house. I just came home and somebody was sleeping in my bed after they ate my porridge and they have no right to be here. You could
bring the police in and arrest Goldilocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you start out from a fundamentally different perspective, which is you're the owner. They have, you know, they're trespassing on my property versus, you know, I'm the landlord and they have a lease and I'm of the opinion that the lease is over and you should kick them out, Well, tenants have rights, and a formal eviction is very burdensome to landowners. And it didn't used to be that. You know, like so many things in the law 70 years ago, so different. But today, the phrase squatter's rights really kind of comes from the idea that you are far better off not renting to somebody than you are kicking them out. It's easier to not hire than it is to fire. So once a person gets in the door with some sort of legal authority, they've signed a rental agreement, they've signed a lease agreement.
What if they didn't sign anything? it's on the owner of the house to make a complaint, right?
And so then the next question that probably gets asked, how long they've been there? And if they've been there, the house is empty and unrented, and you were here last week, so they've been here somewhere in the last 6 days, then that sounds like trespassing and we can arrest. But if somebody says, I've lived here for 9 months, ding, 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 you know, that's not trespassing. That's a landlord-tenant situation. That requires a civil case. That requires eviction. That invokes the phrase squatter's rights.
Well, they're not the most popular people on the block right now, but anyway, we'll move on.
Do they listen to the radio?
I'll find out later today, won't I?
Yeah.
Okay. It's County Edition here on 1590 KVGB and 95.5 FM. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more after this. Welcome back, County Edition here on 1590 KVGB, 95.5 FM. Levi Morris in with us, Barton County Attorney. Jury trials. It's kind of always... But how hard is it to find an impartial jury these days?
It's usually not hard at all.
Really?
You take the headlines right now. Pretty impossible to find a jury who might not have strong opinions about prosecuting a former president. That's tough. Prosecuting some guy nobody knows who got caught with a couple pounds of methamphetamine,
okay,
and no one really knows him, not going to be hard. And then one of the...
Maybe I should have said high-profile cases.
Well, and there's where the challenge is, because in any normal trial, in any routine trial... Both attorneys at some point are going to ask, who knows anybody, somebody? You start with yourself. Does anybody know me? I had a defense attorney one time and his banker was on the jury. And I just said, you know, hey, I presume he's got money in your bank. And everybody laughed. And said, you don't think that if you rule against him and his client, he's going to come dump his money from your bank next week, do you? And he said, no. And I have no idea if the guy stayed on the jury or not. But we'll field those questions. Ask about me and my staff. Usually go through a list of law enforcement witnesses, who are your cops that are going to testify. You don't want any ex-wives, ex-husbands, ex-girlfriends, ex-boyfriends on there necessarily. I mean, you want a lot of people raise their hand and say, I think so-and-so is a no good schmuck. And usually the routine questions from the attorneys kind of get rid of all the normal sources of bias. But as you run up that high-profile ladder, that's where you run into problems. I mean, we had one time, not a high-profile case, but a guy raised his hand. And so let me back up. We've now charged and tried and convicted this guy of rape twice. Doug Matthews did it when he was here. An issue on appeal came up, so they kicked it back. I spent about 5 minutes partnering with the defense attorney before I became the Barton County attorney. And so I had a conflict. So we hired, I had three cases that needed special prosecutors when I became county attorney, and this was one. So Doug McNett, the Pawnee County attorney, special prosecuted this for us, convicted him again. But for the 5 minutes I was a defense attorney, we were picking a jury for what would have been the second trial after the first, but before the one that eventually became the second. And you read these reports, and this guy had a nickname. And as I read the reports, I thought it was very interesting how he was identified. And one of these potential jurors out of nowhere just raises his hand and he goes, I've known, and he uses the guy's nickname. He goes, I've known him since we were kids. And that got that particular gentleman excused from the jury because he's known him perceived source of bias, to go back to your question, in my mind, the whole jury just heard this nickname that they're going to hear 5 hours from now. And they may confuse the fact that that was his nickname and he was identified that way as evidence in the case. And that jury never got impaneled and it never went to trial anyways. But the guy completely had no desire to help anybody or to be biased or to influence a jury. But with one statement, he, one, told you he knew the defendant, and two, gave the whole jury the guy's lifelong nickname, which was going to come up in evidence. So usually we get rid of that routinely. I've never felt that we had any issues with any particular juries in general. One or two guys, people who survived a jury, and afterwards we learned a little bit about their life experience and why maybe they weren't good for us on that issue. But I'm not, you know, but by and large, it is not hard to find unbiased juries. You know, every time I've done a jury trial and I've lost, my first and only question is, hey, I'm the Barton County attorney. I'm your attorney. You guys glad I prosecuted this even though I lost? And every time I've done one, they just all said yes. And every time, for the most part, I've lost a jury trial, it's always been, and again, just me personally, not the office, but they've always said, no, we think they did it. We just respect the burden of proof. So we've never had there's never been a jury where we thought we had a bias problem, where afterwards we thought we had a bad jury that hosed us. It never had that. Now, I suppose it would have been darn hard to pick a Barton County jury to try the sheriff. I had nothing to do with that. I was just a defense attorney in la-la land, not paying a lot of attention. But I would imagine you just take it up one notch. You take a local elected official, and it would be very challenging to find and to pick your jury out of that. And I've never looked into how many panels they went through or how many strikes they had. But yeah, if you just you grab somebody high profile, Steve, if you were charged with a crime, how long have you been on the radio?
Here in Great Bend, probably about 15 years.
How long have you been on the radio in general?
Oh, probably about 40 years.
Yeah, I think even Steve Webster is going to rise to the level of having known enough people, being high enough profile, where just the good old-fashioned question of how many of you know him is going to get a lot of questions. And then, you know, part of that jury selection process is everybody that raises their hand and says, look, I know the defendant. Okay, how? And, oh, well, he's been on the radio. Yeah, okay. Is that all? Have you ever been on the radio with him? Have you ever done any advertising with the radio? Has he ever interviewed you? Has he ever written a story about you, good or bad? Have you ever met him in person? Have you ever met him at the county fair or whatever? And so you just jump a couple rings of
has notoriety. He ever said anything that you disagreed with?
Yeah. Yeah. Did he report on so-and-so in a way that you liked? So you just jump a ring or two.
I guess what I'm getting at is, so with the stuff with these high profile cases, you know, Donald Trump, obviously, that the one that steps out. So the jury trial concept, which we've used forever in this country, it still works. I mean, you still have confidence in our legal system.
Whoa, Steve.
I mean, I think there's a lot of questions out there now about, you know, social media. Everybody knows everybody else.
You just searched, you would find some people who think the jury trial system doesn't work. I know those people are out there. But we haven't improved upon it. So what's the old joke about democracy? It's the worst system available, but it's better than everything else.
Absolutely.
And a jury concept has got to be the same way, that it may be the worst, but it's better than anything anybody else has ever tried. And one of the great quotes that a handful of us use, if it suits us, is that Alexander Hamilton or Ben Franklin, I think it's Ben Franklin, said that with our system, it's better to have 10 guilty men go free than to have one innocent man to go to prison. And on the other end of that spectrum is Dennis Miller, who said we need fewer hung juries and more hung defendants. And usually that question gets used to juries, and you go, well, who do you agree with? Do you agree with Uncle Ben or with Dennis Miller a little bit more on that? And that's a great question to try to get people on your jury to tell you if they're biased one way or the other.
I still will say that I've been on one jury trial, and it lasted a week. It was a week long. It was the most rewarding thing that I remember doing, because you get in and it's kind of like, okay, we got to take this serious. And it always changes too, because who goes first? It's the defense, right?
In terms of talking to the jury?
Yeah, you're just how the case started. I mean, I was
almost, Steve, everything's pretty much the state goes first. We start talking to the jury first. We do opening statements.
Okay.
We present our evidence first. We go first.
With the guy was guilty after that was done. But then after I heard the case.
You told me before, right?
Yeah.
And I forget, but it was, I want to.
It was fascinating. And it took a whole week.
Who was it?
It was a property dispute.
Okay. I thought it was, okay.
Yeah. It was a property dispute.
Okay.
And it was, like I said, it was, people don't want to get on a jury, and I understand everybody's busy, but man, that was the most interesting thing I've ever done.
Right. I met one person who, when you asked how many people really want to be here, this kid, he's like 19, raises his hand. And I was so in shock, I just told him the truth. I said, normally that's the way to get off the jury. But he was just a young man who wanted to do it, and he was excited to do it. He wasn't not taking it seriously. And both the state and the defense left him on the jury, youngest person I've ever let be on a jury. And the defense left him on too, because I think everybody realized he just knows that this is important. But no, everybody, I've never, any other than that one person, I've never met anybody who wanted to be in jury selection. And I always tell them this up front. I say this at the end. I said, here's my experience, folks. None of you really want to be here right now, but when you are done in 2 days or 5 days, or a couple were six or seven, when you are done, my experience is you will feel differently. And everybody I've ever talked to said that having served on a jury was a very rewarding experience. And even though they walked into it with a little bit of negativity, everybody walked out of it positively. I mean, everybody is, from my experience, always taken it very seriously. And it just, as you listen to the evidence that's specific to the case, it just becomes crystal clear to everybody how we need that participation, and we need everybody to take it seriously. And regardless of how they end up ruling on that case, we got to have people do it. So no, your story is exactly what everybody else has always said, which was, when it was done, that was great. Very enlightening, very rewarding. Maybe I don't want to do it again next week. I want to go back to work.
Yeah.
But everybody seems to walk away with that same impression. That is just the nature of the beast. It's completely eye-opening. And a lot of people always say, you know, we were left to guess what this is like, or left to assume half the truth of what we see in the movies or the TV shows. But at the end of the day, it's just everybody, you know, it changes your perception of everything.
It really does. It's great and see how people, different people step up, and how it was. Yeah.
You will probably not be on a jury here for a criminal case anytime soon. But yeah, you know, maybe before you retire, you'll get to do another one.
Okay. All right. We'll let you go.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, appreciate it. Levi Morris in with us today, County Edition, here on 1590 KVGB and 95.5 FM, because you know it's all about me.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Thanks, Levi.